Fly ball to the corner. It goes into deep right field. Ohtani, he did it!
Swinging a high fly ball to right. It is out of here! Yastrzemski does it again, and the Giants lead 4-0.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAM, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Time for that Wednesday baseball talk here on Drive Time Sports. Boy, the season is really getting interesting right now. How about the New York Yankees? Juan Soto was on a massive tear. Some injury concerns in New York now with Jazz Chisholm. Nonetheless, the Yankees half game up on the Orioles. The Dodgers are playing good baseball right now. If you look, tied for the best record in the big leagues with the Guardians. Who would have thought that? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the playoff chase as well. Joining us right now over the phone, Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. You can hear him now on the weekends, KNBR Radio, Giants flagship station. Bill, it's great to get you back on as we hit the final 40 games of the season. Things are heating up.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on. Of course, the dog days of August are going through, and then we get into September. A lot of head-to-head competition between teams in the same division, as well as still American League, National League teams facing each other. And it's just going to be a great, great 6 weeks left.
You look at the best record in Major League Baseball. So right now you have the Dodgers and the Guardians at 71-49, but you got the Yankees at 71-50. You got the Orioles at 70-50. The Phillies are at 69-50. You got the Diamondbacks and the Padres at 68-53. I can't recall the last time we had five or six teams within 2 to 3 games of each other for not only a playoff spot, Bill, but for the best record in Major League Baseball. It is very compact right now.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And just watching the NL West out here with San Francisco, Arizona, and San Diego are playing the best baseball they've played all year. And the Dodgers were in a funk. Now Mookie Betts is back. So, you know what? This is a three-team race. My Giants could have, would have, but I just don't think they can. 61-61. There were 3 games over .500. And then a Braves came in. Great, great game on Monday with Sale and Snell. But they just couldn't get any runs. And sure enough, they lose the first 2 out of the 4 games against the Braves.
How deflating is it for a team when you lose a game 1-0? When you give up really just a stellar pitching performance. And I know you got to tip your hat to Chris Sale. He was absolutely incredible. But Blake Snell's been pitching out of this world as well. You lose a game 1-0, Bill. What does that do for morale in a clubhouse?
Well, I think it started, you know, they had a 3-game series against Detroit. They took the first 2. They had a nice momentum with 4-game win streak. Then they blew the game Sunday, overachieving running, trying to score on an infield in. Chapman tried to score from 3rd. With nobody out and no contact play was on and the base running was terrible, not bunting people over, and end up losing Sunday. Going into Monday, it was a big 4-game series. The Giants fans were ready, and so was the team talking about it Sunday. Hey, we're prepared. This was an opportunity to try to leapfrog the Braves because the Braves had lost 6 out of 7. They go into Colorado, get beat there. But boy, a 1-0 game, and I'm just not a Ghost Runner fan. And to lose a game like that, it was tough. And then yesterday, of course, coming back trying to tie the game, they finally did. And sure enough, the 10th inning hurt them again. But key hits, runners in scoring position, base running, some basic things that they just can't overcome, and it's already the middle of August.
Yeah, I think if the Giants are not one of the teams that are in the postseason, I think the same could be said for Atlanta. If Atlanta gets into the postseason, I'm going to go back and look at this particular series because 2-0 Atlanta, 1-0, 4-3. That 4-3 win comes in 10 innings. I mean, this individual series right here could have flipped the NL playoff picture upside down. And Atlanta, who gets hit with another big injury, as A.J. Minter now goes to the 15-day IL. So now you lose one of your high-leverage bullpen arms, just cannot seem to buy a break. Yet they have eked out 2 one-run wins. This was a monumental series for the NL playoff picture.
And we still have 2 games left. I'm not discounting the Giants, but at the same time, the offense is just dismal. They just can't get a runner in. First and second, nobody out into a ground ball double play. Things like that, if you're in contention of any kind of wild card, you end up getting guy over or you end up getting a deep fly ball to move your runners. They're just not doing that. They're striking out a lot. But as you say, the Braves came in here the same way. you know, looking at a lot of these guys, the Braves' batting averages are down. Their home run production is up. Really, when you look at their rotation, Sale's about the only one that's really dominant, 13-3. And then you look at the other ones, and they've all been scuffling. Sure, two games left, as I just said. But I just don't think the Braves are strong enough to even get into the wild card. And there's teams that are starting to get hot. You look at the Reds. The Reds are playing good baseball. Even the Cubs are still in this. So there are a few teams that could possibly run it. But, boy, September is going to be a big, big month for all these teams.
Yeah, and that fourth playoff spot, or sixth playoff spot, I should say, in the National League, I mean, I think we're going to get three from the NL West in for sure. So now it's Atlanta trying to grab onto that final playoff spot. Two big wins, a team that has hit some trouble as of late. It's the New York Mets. They've now dropped four straight. They've lost 7 out of 10, and this was a team that was one of the hotter squads in baseball. And you look at this four-game stretch they're on. I mean, they got really hammered by the Seattle Mariners. I mean, they lost 6-0, 4-0, 12-1. I mean, it wasn't even close. And then they suffer a 5-run loss to the A's. I mean, those are four awful losses for this team at a crucial stage in the season.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And don't look now, but the A's are probably one of the best teams since the All-Star break, playing very good baseball, the best they've played. They're only one game away from putting the Angels in last place, which would be a big, big plus for the A's organization. And it's just been bad baseball for the New York Mets. Coming into Seattle, they just couldn't get anything going there. And now they're home, and you got the Oakland A's beating them up yesterday. So, you know, you start looking at these teams that are fighting for the wild card position, and so many ways they could have advanced, and it's gone the opposite way. And the Mets are in that same boat with the Giants.
Again, Bill Lasky joining us right now as we talk Major League Baseball. Bill, you mentioned the Dodgers and getting healthy once again. Mookie Betts comes back. He hasn't played in 2 months. Guy doesn't miss a beat. Sends a two-run shot. I think it was a two-run shot, if I remember correctly. His first game back over the left field wall against the Brewers. What he brings to the table instantly can be a big boost. Dave Roberts elects to keep Shohei Ohtani out of the leadoff spot, so you got Mookie batting second. But even in the game yesterday, Mookie once again was great. He has two hits in this game, hitting over 300, back to his normal position in right field. I don't know if the Dodgers have their infield situation taken care of, but I do know that Mookie just makes all the difference in the world. I can't believe this guy steps right back in, and it's like he was never gone.
So true. And he's just that catalyst of that team. He gets that extra energy. You can just see the smile on his face, and everybody's just joy around him. That's what Mookie Betts is. And if he's not Mr. Baseball for the Dodgers, I don't know who is. Oh, sure, Ohtani, but Ohtani's had a little slump too, and they've had their injuries, and I think the Dodgers right now are getting that second life with Mookie. Starting pitching is going to be a big question mark as we move forward. But still, the Dodgers are the Dodgers. They're still leading the NL West. Even though you got the Diamondbacks and the Padres right up their sleeves, it's going to be a good, good run here. It's going to be a fun NL West as we continue through the season.
Yeah, one more thought on Mookie Betts as well, Bill. This is a guy that's played second base. He's played shortstop. Now he's back into right field. He was the leadoff man, and now he's batting second. He's also one of the highest paid players on the team, and he's done all this without any complaints whatsoever. Says all the right things in the media. It's kind of refreshing to see, isn't it? Because we'll talk about the Yankees in a moment. This is a team that couldn't find anyone that wanted to play third base, right? So to see Mookie at this level, at this stage in his career, you nailed it right on the head, Mr. Baseball. I mean, that's a teammate. That's a guy you want in your clubhouse.
It sure is. And just being around the guy, knowing what kind of energy he brings to the game, knowing the adjustments he makes. And, of course, I've always said he's one of the best right fielders in the game. I'll never forget him throwing out the guy in Arizona, picking a ball down the line, throwing him out at third base. Just a remarkable player. From his arm to his glove, knowing the position. I like him in right field. Moving him to shortstop, that was probably an option they had to do. But overall, I mean, he is that spark. You call him the Energizer Bunny in that lineup. Once he gets going, everybody just kind of filters with him and moves with him. I'm sure the Dodgers organization are sure happy that he's back from the IL.
Let's talk about one of the other top teams in the National League, the Philadelphia Phillies. They've kind of hit a little wall here. They did have success against the Dodgers, taking 2 of 3, but then they lost 3 of 4 to the Diamondbacks, and they suffer another loss to the Marlins. And the losses to Arizona, I mean, they suffered one, I think it was like 3-2. I think that was, 3-2. It was a one-run loss. But then after that, they got really pounded by Arizona. And they get waxed again by the Marlins. Everyone's going to go through slumps. I get it. They still hold a six-game lead within that division. It just seems like this is a really bad time to hit a slump.
It sure is. And, you know, you thinking about the lead they had, best record in the National League, that's fallen. Arizona, they just didn't have any pop. They just couldn't come up with a key hit. Bryce Harper was the first one saying, we are in dog days of baseball, and we're dogging it. It is bad baseball right now with the Phillies. And I felt going back to Philadelphia, that re-energized, and then you get Miami to go in there and beat them. It was a big question mark, and I just wonder if some of these guys are getting tired. You look at the ages of, you know, you look at the Braves, most of these guys are in their 30s. Same thing with the Phillies. They don't have that youth movement as most some of these younger teams have. And you just wonder sometimes as the dog days of August start coming, the legs get tired, the arms get tired, and you know what? Age creeps up to them, and the fastballs are quicker, the breaking balls are moving a little bit more, and they just can't adjust. Philadelphia will come back. They're just too good of a team, too many veterans. But you said it, you never know, and these slumps hit, and they're in a slump right now.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about Philly. I still think that this is one of the best teams in baseball. I'll take their roster construction over nearly everyone. It's just, it's bad optics right now. One of the other stats that I simply cannot ignore, they have not played good baseball on the road. For a team that's in the running for one of the best records in Major League Baseball, they're only three games above 500 on the road, and that's a scary metric for a team that no longer has home field advantage if the playoffs were to begin today. They don't have home field advantage throughout the postseason. I can't ignore that.
Yeah, you know, you look at Philly, you look at a lot of clubs, it seems like when they go on the road, it's a whole different team. And Philadelphia is one of them. You look at the NL West, some of these teams struggle when they get on the road. Yep. You just don't know the scratching of the head. Why? You know, and the key hits, I always say, the money hits. They just dry up on the road. And Philadelphia is that same boat with most of these teams. You wonder if they can come around. I think they can't, too. Too many leaders in that clubhouse to have this thing fall down a rabbit hole. So, you know, you look at the month of August, you got to get through the month of August. So many teams in their clubhouses, you got to get through the month of August, get through September, and then you get that little second life in September because you know the finish line's coming quick, and if you don't start playing quality baseball, you might fall right out of the playoffs.
One team that has not had struggles on the road, the New York Yankees, more road wins than anyone in baseball right now, 39-23 away from Yankee Stadium, now 71-50. Over the last three games, we've seen Juan Soto with a multi-home run game, and then he had a hat trick as well. This guy's hitting the hell out of the baseball. Now they're a half game above the Baltimore Orioles. I've been high on this Yankee team all year long. I think they're moving in the complete opposite direction of the Phillies. They're playing some of their best baseball right now.
Yeah, I agree. They went into Chicago, lost that first game, and I was like, what's going on? And, of course, yesterday that was a spark. Let me ask you, do you think Juan Soto will be a Yankee at the end of this year? Do you think they'll give him a multi-deal? I just don't know if he wants to opt out and go free agency. What are your thoughts on Juan Soto for a new contract?
I think Juan Soto has to go the route of free agency because I think that I'm a firm believer that previous years of free agency set the upcoming market. And the Ohtani deal, and I know he's a unicorn. You can next year, I believe he'll pitch, right? I mean, he's worth it in terms of marketing. But you look at a $700 million contract; it's the biggest in baseball history. If you're a guy like Juan Soto, you're going to if you don't get $700 million, which he may not, he's going to get one of the biggest contracts in baseball history based off of the market right now. So for me, yes, I think he should test free agency. And if I'm the New York Yankees, this is the way I look at it. You're the third most valuable franchise, and you have not won a World Series in almost a decade and a half. I think you have to give Juan Soto whatever he wants. I think with what this organization is worth, with how they print their own money, to have someone of this magnitude in your franchise right now, money's not an option for this team. I think you almost have to give Juan Soto whatever he wants. And Bill, I can take it even a step further. When they made the deal with the San Diego Padres and giving up with what they gave up, knowing it wasn't necessarily a rental price. Right, you don't make a rental move in the offseason. You make a rental move at the trade deadline. I think at that particular time, the Yankees almost forced their own hand. They have to give Soto whatever he wants.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. When you make a trade like that and you give up a lot of quality prospects, you just can't let the guy walk.
No.
And they have so much money, and they're so deep in contracts. They have so deep in prospects. And the New York Yankees have fallen in love with Juan Soto, no question about it. Aaron Judge fell in love with him to have him hit in front of him. I mean, the combination of those two are just inseparable. And I think you just have to, you know, watch and see what other teams are going to go. And the New York Mets, of course, are going to talk about it, the Cubs and the Dodgers, things like that. But I really believe the Yankees have to step up and get this done. And it is going to be a large amount of money that he's going to filter in his bank book. But you know what? He's been worth it.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head when you talked about Soto batting in front of Aaron Judge, right? It's I can't ignore the fact that we were talking about Mookie. Mookie's batting behind Shohei Ohtani. So you come off of a two-month IL stint. That has to help batting behind Ohtani, and it's probably the same thing, right, for Soto. He's batting in front of Aaron Judge. With you being a former pitcher, Bill, talk to me about how important and what that can do for a 1-2 combo when you have a guy like Soto batting in front of Judge, when you have a guy like Ohtani batting in front of Mookie Betts, what that can do to a lineup and what it does to a pitcher.
Well, it's not the first time around. It's when they come back around again the second time, and most of the time that 8-9-1 hitter's on. And then you got the power of the lineup again. And the top part of these lineups are so strong, you can't run away from them. You can't intentionally walk them, especially when you got Soto, a lefty, and Judge, a righty. Same thing with Ohtani and Mookie. And then you got Freeman. I mean, that's what the key is when you set these lineups up, to make it righty-lefty or lefty-righty. As a pitcher, you're going to have to go through them sooner or later. And it's just about what you do the first time and what you do the second time against them, because I think that's the biggest thing now when you're looking at pitchers. Sometimes you don't get that third time around unless you're having a remarkable game. So it's really trying to figure out what you can do against them the first time and seeing if it works, because sooner or later you're going to have to face them again. These guys are just so good, and they know exactly what you're throwing. They know what the count is. They know where you go to. And that's the thing as a pitcher-hitter combination. When you're going after each other, you kind of know what they're looking for, and they know what you're throwing. So it's a cat-mouse game, but that's what's great about being a pitcher and a hitter, because those are the games that relies inside the game. I'm coming after you, you're coming after me. One of us is going to win, and one of us is going to be an out. So it's fun, you know, as a pitcher for many years that I've pitched, and those are the matchups you dream of.
Yeah, and I guess if we're going to talk American League Baseball, I think the first time I really paid attention to something like this, Bill, would have been the Red Sox when they had David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez, right? I mean, it was lineup protection, and it was lineup protection at its finest at that particular time. But now we're seeing that lineup protection at the very front of the lineup, and you kind of touched on that a moment ago. It's not the first time through, it's the second time through.
It so is, and you're starting to see the front of the lineup stacked up. It was always the third hitter was always your best hitter. Then the fourth hitter was the guy who was going to drive you in. I really believe they've pushed that up now, whereas the second hitter in the lineup seems to be the best hitter. And they want that 1-2 combination to come up 4, maybe 5 times a game. And if you're sparked like that and you got these guys that are so powerful to hit a home run or drive in runs, that's where you want the majority of your top hitters. You can get through 6, 7, 8, 9, but boy, oh boy, you're looking around when that number 9 hitter comes around and you look in the on-deck circle and here they come again. It's a second thought in a pitcher's mind.
He's Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, taking out the time to join us as we talk baseball. Love talking the situational baseball aspects as well. Bill, I know you got some great stuff, as always, coming up on the weekend. What's cooking on KMBR?
Well, you know, the Giants are going to play Oakland in Oakland for the final two games. So it's going to be a remarkable two-game series. And, you know, it's been the Bay Bridge series here for so many years. And, of course, the Oakland A's are leaving Oakland. They're going to go up to Sacramento and play. So this weekend is going to be a tough weekend just for all Bay Area fans. I reunited with Mike Heath, who was one of the great catchers there in the late 70s, early 80s, went on to play with Detroit and the Yankees. And then Dwayne Murphy, also one of the best center fielders. So I caught up with both of them this week just to talk about their years and reminiscing on some of the teammates with the Oakland A's, because I really believe that transition is going to be so hurtful in the Bay Area. But this weekend will be the final two games. And, of course, we're going to remember a lot of good things with the Oakland A's and their 3 World Series, and so many great players that have gone through it, Hall of Famers, All-Stars, and it's just a shame that baseball has to push them out, and that's what Rob Manfred's doing, and it's going to be a long road. before this anyway heals with the Bay Area fans.
No, absolutely. I agree 100%. Bill, it is always a pleasure to get you on. I always look forward to these conversations. Enjoy the rest of the week, and hopefully the Giants can pull through and make this series with Atlanta interesting.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me. It's always a great pleasure talking to you on every Wednesday.
It's going to do it for us here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. We're going to be back to do it again tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I am out.